നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യം നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജായം മുദീരയേത്. നഷ്ടപ്രായേഷു അഭദ്രേഷു നിത്യം ഭാഗവത സേവയാ ഭഗവതീയുക്തമ ശ്ലോകേ ഭക്തിർഭവതി നൈഷ്ഠികീ. കൃഷ്ണായ വാസുദേവായ ദേവകീ നന്ദനായ ച നന്ദഗോപകുമാരായ ഗോവിന്ദായ നമോ നമഃ. ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം കാന്റോ 11 ചാപ്റ്റർ 5 ടെക്സ്റ്റ് നമ്പർ 15. ദ്വിഷന്തഃ പരകായേഷു സ്വാത്മാനം ഹരിമീശ്വരം മൃതകേസാനുബന്ധസ്മിന് ബദ്ധസ്നേഹാ പതന്ത്യഥ. ദ്വിഷന്തഃ പരകായേഷു സ്വാത്മാനം ഹരിമീശ്വരം മൃതകേസാനുബന്ധസ്മിന് ബദ്ധസ്നേഹാ പതന്ത്യഥ. ദ്വിഷന്തഃ പരകായേഷു സ്വാത്മാനം ഹരിമീശ്വരം മൃതകേസാനുബന്ധസ്മിന് ബദ്ധസ്നേഹാ പതന്ത്യഥ. മാതാജീസ്, ദ്വിഷന്തഃ എൻവിയിങ് പരകായേഷു ദി സോൾസ് വിദിൻ ദ ബോഡീസ് ഓഫ് അതേഴ്സ്, സ്വ ആത്മാനം ദെയർ ഓൺ ട്രൂ സെൽഫ്, ഹരിം ഈശ്വരം ദ സുപ്രീം പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ഹെഡ് ഹരി, മൃതകേ ഇൻ ദ കോപ്സ്, സ അനുബന്ധേ ടുഗെദർ വിത്ത് ഇറ്റ്സ് റിലേഷൻസ്, അസ്മിൻ ദിസ് ബദ്ധ സ്നേഹ ദിയർ അഫെക്ഷൻ ബീങ് ഫിക്സ്ഡ്, പതന്തി ദ ഫോൾ അധഃ ഡൗൺവേർഡ്. ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ ആൻഡ് പർപ്പഡ് ബൈ ദ ഡിസൈപ്പിൾസ് ഓഫ് ഹിസ് ഡിവൈൻ ഗ്രേസ് എ സി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ്. The conditioned souls become completely bound in affection to their own corpse-like material bodies and their relatives and paraphernalia. In such a proud and foolish condition, the conditioned souls envy other living entities as well as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who resides in the heart of all beings. Thus, enviously offending others, the conditioned souls gradually fall down into hell. Purport: materialistic persons express their envy of animals by cruelly killing them. Similarly, the conditioned souls become envious even of other human beings and of the Lord Himself, who dwells within everyone's body. They express their envy of God by preaching atheistic science or pseudo-philosophy, in which they ridicule the fact that everyone is an eternal servant of God. Envious persons express their bitter feelings towards other human beings by creating wars, terrorism, cruel governments, and cheating business enterprises. The sinful bodies of such envious persons are just like corpses. Still, envious persons are enamored by the corpse of their material body and become further fascinated by their children and other bodily extensions. Such feelings are based in false pride. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted the following verse from Hari Vamsha: Apatvad, apatatvad, aptatvad, atma, shabdok, shabdoktam, swasmin api pareshucha, jiva danyam na pashyanti, shutvaivam vidvishanti cha, etam swamasuran vidhi, lokash nahe purushadhaman. The Supreme is called Atma because he is found both in oneself and within others. Such persons become agitated by hearing descriptions of the Supreme Lord, and they openly state that there is no superior living being beyond themselves. Such persons are to be known as demons. By their practical symptoms, they are to be understood as the lowest class of men.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivatsadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So this verse in particular talks about the disease of the heart called envy. And this is the basic foundational principle of material existence. The dictionary definition of envy is that is a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's position, luck or opulences. So when somebody has something that we want and we can't have it, then there is a feeling of resentment or discontentment. And that feeling is called envy. Rather than becoming happy, we become resentful or unhappy, sad. So that's called envy. So in essence, all the opulences actually belong to Krishna. He is the possessor of the six opulences. Therefore, he is called Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the possessor of the six opulences. Wealth, beauty, fame, renunciation, knowledge and strength. These are the six opulences. So ultimately he is the possessor, he is the master. So when people envy others possessing these opulences, so this is indirectly a way of expressing envy towards Krishna. So the Vedic texts and all the scriptures of the world, they agree on the same principle that initially we were all with God, living with him, enjoying all the opulences that he has. But then we decided to live independently. We developed envy of his opulences. The Bible explains the story of Adam and Eve, that they're living in the heavenly gardens and God gave them everything to enjoy, all the royal gardens, beautiful trees, lakes and palaces. And he told them, this is all for you to enjoy. But do not eat that particular apple from that tree. And this is the human tendency to sometimes misuse the free will. And it is the nature of the mind to always dwell on things. If somebody comes and tells us, this is all for you, but don't touch this one. Or don't open this particular diary. Don't open this particular message. So the mind keeps dwelling on that particular thing only. So the same mistake was committed by Adam and Eve. They went and actually ate that apple only. And as soon as they ate that apple, they were thinking, why not this apple also? Why can't we enjoy? Immediately the dualities arose within their hearts. The duality of happiness, distress, friend, enemy, honor, dishonor. And that was the cause of the fall down. So disobedience to the instructions of the Lord or non-cooperation with the will of the Lord. Similarly, the Vedic texts also explain, Srila Prabhupada has many times explained that we were all with Krishna once upon a time. And then we decided to live independently, because in the spiritual world, Krishna is the center. He is the center of everyone's attention. And every living entity is cooperating in Krishna's enjoyment. Therefore, there is perfect harmony in the spiritual world. But then, Krishna being independent, he has bestowed some sort of independence to all his parts and parcels. That means us. And sometimes, this is being misused. And we become envious of Krishna. Krishna's opulences, and we want to enjoy separately. And that is the beginning of the fall down. So this is the basic foundational principle. So initially this envy is towards Krishna, but then gradually over many lifetimes this gets expanded to everyone else in the material world. Everyone else. So Srila Prabhupada always used to say that if you want to develop love for other living beings, do not try to do it separately. Just try to develop your love for God, love for Krishna. Automatically, you will develop your love for all other living entities. A similar principle here. Just like by being envious towards Krishna, we became envious of everyone else's opulences. Similarly, if we just simply try to develop our love for Krishna, we will start loving everyone else also. Same principle. Because Krishna, everything is present in Krishna. The entire creation is present within Krishna. As soon as we become envious of Krishna, we become envious of every living being, although we may not know it, or we may not be mindful about this fact. So, envy is the sum. There are six enemies of the heart: lust, anger, greed, pride, and illusion, and envy. But it is described, envy is the worst. And it is the last thing that leaves the heart. And it is the sum total of all the other anarthas also. That means, if a person is envious, it is understood that he also has lust, he also has greed, he also has illusion, he also has pride. So all the other five anarthas are also present within the heart of a person who is envious. So this is the most powerful anartha, and this is the last thing that leaves the heart. Once envy is gone, that means person has achieved the perfectional stage of life. So what can this envy do to us? What does it actually do? How is it manifested? The first thing that envy does to a person is that it makes that person lose focus of his own blessings, the benedictions that he has. And when a person is envious, he just keeps focusing on what others have and what others don't have. There were three black people. And when they died, they went to the heavens. So an angel came in front of them and he was deeply moved by their plight, because when they were on this earthly planet, they suffered so much discrimination, exploitation. So he was feeling compassionate towards these three black people. And he told them, I want to give you some benediction. Each one of you can ask for one boon and it will be fulfilled without delay. So they had gone from the material world. So when the person dies, the gross body is left behind, but the subtle body carries the soul to the next destination. That means the mind, intelligence and ego, they go with the soul. They carry the soul to the next destination. And depending on the impressions stored within the mind and the intelligence, the next destination is decided. In essence, when the soul leaves the body, this world, the consciousness goes along with it. And accordingly, the next body is given. So when these people heard this from the angel, that they could ask for one benediction each. So the first black person, he was asked, what do you want? And the only thing that was occupying his mind was, because he was totally disheartened, discouraged, depressed, being born as a black and then had to go through so much suffering, so much exploitation. So that was occupying his consciousness again. The only thing that he could ask immediately, because the first thing that comes out of our mouth is whatever is occupying our mind. Immediately he said, Mujhe gora bana do. And the angel said, so be it, tathastu. And then he asked the second person, what do you want? So he was looking at this first person, Are ye gora ho gaya and I'm still black. He said, Mujhe bhi gora bana do. He said, tathastu. And the third person, he's looking at both of them and he was asked, what do you want? He said, he was like not happy. He said, dono ko fir se kala bana do. So this is envy. He could have asked for the same benediction and much more also. But envy makes us lose focus of what we can actually achieve in life. It makes us lose focus of our own strengths, own blessings. And we are just totally focused on what others have, what others don't have. And that's how this person lost the benediction. Similarly, we also have this human form of life. And most importantly, being born in India is a bigger benediction. So we already have this blessing. And more than that, we have the connection to Srila Prabhupada and our and the worshipable Guru Parampara. So we have all the blessings, all the benedictions, and over and above that we have a human form of life. And if we just do not take care of this disease called envy, which also leads to finding faults in others, then we will lose focus. And the only goal of human form of life is to purify our own hearts, to focus on our own growth. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj once mentioned that the tendency to find faults in others is one of the greatest weapons of Maya Devi to distract us from what we actually have to do in our own lives, and that is to purify our own hearts. So when a person is envious, he loses focus of his own benedictions, own blessings that he already has. Second thing that envy does is, a person who is envious, his success, the standard of his success is others' failure. He becomes happy when others fail, when others are sad, and he becomes sad when others are happy. That's how his consciousness gets degraded. His standard of happiness, so envy actually, there's no other anartha that degrades us more than this, more than envy. Others' glory, when seen, a person becomes sad because he has envy. When somebody else becomes successful, the person becomes depressed. So this is the second thing that envy does. That one starts estimating, or one standard of success in life becomes how much others are failing in life. There was one person, and he had a neighbor. So one day, a genie appeared in front of him from nowhere, and he said, ask for a benediction now, since I have appeared. He said, alright. But there is one condition, this genie said. Whatever you'll get, your neighbor will get the twice as much. So he didn't bother so much. He said, that's fine. He said, I want a luxury car. He said, Tathastu. He went outside, he saw a luxury car parked outside his house. And he was very happy. Then he looked at his neighbor's house. He was very envious of the neighbor anyways. His neighbor had two luxury cars. So he was not very happy. But since it was just the beginning, he didn't mind that. Then he said, I want a bungalow. Huge bungalow. And he said, Tathastu, and a bungalow appeared. Then he saw the neighbor had two bungalows. So like that, he kept on asking for benediction, and his neighbor was getting twice as much. And he was like burning with envy. He said, let me now ask for something. Because success is others' failure. He's not feeling that he's being successful. There is, as I said, envy has everything. It has lust, anger, greed, pride and illusion. So there is enough in this world for every person's need, but there is not enough for one person's greed. So he was greedy also. He was not satisfied with whatever he was having. Although it was more than what he needed actually. So then he started asking, let me lose my one eye. And he saw, went outside, and his neighbor was running around. He lost both the eyes, and then he became happy. Then he said, let me lose my one hand. And he went outside, he saw the neighbor had lost two hands, and that gave him so much solace and happiness. He became ecstatic. A person becomes demonic when he has envy. There's no difference between an envious person and a demon. In fact, it is said scorpions and the snakes, they are the most envious creatures. You just somehow happen to touch them and they'll bite you. If you're around them, they'll bite you. But the envious person is more dangerous than a scorpion or a snake. because he bites you for no reason. For no reason he will try and harm the other person. That's the problem with this disease. So first thing that envy does is makes us lose focus of our own benedictions. Secondly, it makes us, our success depends on others' failure. How much others are losing. And that is our success, that gives our ecstasy. And the third thing that happens to a person who is envious is he cannot hear others' glories. He cannot tolerate at all. And even if they are, even if people are insisting that this is true and he is such a glorious person, the person tries to justify. Srila Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, he gives this story of naked Pancho. There was a person called Pancho. And he was living in a village. And then he went to the city. He worked hard. He became a high court judge. So then the news reached the villagers. Oh, you know that Pancho has become a high court judge. The villagers, because there's envy of others' success, said, it can't be true. Impossible. Ho hi nahi sakta. He said, it's true, he's become a high court judge, he has really worked hard. You can go and see him. He said, impossible. He used to roam around naked in our village as a small child. How can he become a judge? But then they said, no, it's true, it's a fact. You must go and see him then. He said, okay, then he might not be getting paid. So payment nahi milta hoga shayad usko. Somehow you try to put other person down. You can't tolerate other person's glorification. So this is something very serious. Envy. And our only goal in life should be how we should get rid of this deadliest disease, envy. Because once envy is gone, every other anartha is also gone from our heart. So every other anartha, lust, anger, greed, pride and illusion, is actually self-destructive. But envy, more than being self-destructive, it is destructive for others also. The person, so there is a difference between jealousy and envy. Jealousy is just an emotion. But when jealousy is put into practice, put into action, that becomes envy. An envious person actually tries to harm others, pull others down. So there is no harmony in the world because of envy, because of this particular negative trait. And that's what the present education system is doing. Educational system, in the name of being competitive or ambitious, envy is being encouraged. How to become the best, better than the best. Whereas spirituality is not about, actually life is not about being the best, it's about doing the best. If we have done our best, and that's a success. That should be our standard in doing the best. Because everyone can have the same amount of success if they desire so. All they need is just turn to Krishna, who can fulfill everyone's desires. And Srimad Bhagavatam gives the example of Dhruva Maharaj. The father of Dhruva Maharaj was Maharaj Uttanapad, and he was already the emperor of the planet. He had everything. He was the emperor of the planet. And Dhruva Maharaj's great grandfather was Brahma, who was the emperor of the entire universe. He is the highest living being in the universe. So he had everything. But still, somehow, because of circumstances, when Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by his stepmother, then he was guided by his mother to go and please the Supreme Lord. Because Dhruva Maharaj developed a desire. He wanted something which did not even exist, or which was not had by anyone till that point in his life, in the history of the creation. He wanted a kingdom greater than even his great-grandfather Brahma. So Brahma has the highest kingdom. He wanted something greater than that. So this pastime shows that Krishna is not limited. Whatever you desire, Krishna can fulfill if you know the right way. People become envious of others' opulences because they think they are the doers and they are the achievers. They can, and their strength is everything. But when they have this understanding of the other dimension, that I may be useless, I may not be able to achieve what he has achieved, but Krishna can give me whatever I want, if you follow the same principle as Dhruva Maharaj, then we need not be envious of others. Because when we turn to Krishna, everybody can be first, everybody can be at the top, everybody can have the same success. So Dhruva Maharaj, when he went, he was guided by Narad Muni's instructions. Within 6 months, he had the darshan of the Supreme Lord Shri Narayan. And Lord Narayan actually gave him the kingship of his own planet. He made Dhruva the king of his own planet, the pole star, in which the Lord personally resides. And this planet was never ever ruled before. And this is the planet around which all the other planets rotate. They circumambulate it actually, because this is a very worshipable planet. So from the materialistic point of view, something that Dhruva Maharaj achieved was impossible. But because he had the right guidance, he turned to the right person, he achieved something which was greater than what was existing till that point. He achieved the kingship of the pole star forever. He is still living there. So Krishna is not limited. So there is no need to become envious of others' opulences, qualifications, qualities, glories. Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in one lecture recently, we were hearing, that Krishna is not a miser, he is not daridra. If you see some other person getting some glory, you must understand, because he has served Krishna, so he has received it. If you also serve, you will also receive the same. So rather than being envious, we should try to serve Krishna, please Krishna, and Krishna will give us whatever we desire. And that's what Krishna is doing. Natasya karyam karnam cha vidyate, that he has nothing to do. That means he has no material work to perform, but he is always busy fulfilling the desires of his devotees, of those who approach him. So one thing is, I may be unqualified, but Krishna is unlimited. He is extremely powerful. So that gives us hope. People become depressed when they do not understand this other aspect, that I may be nothing, but Krishna is supremely powerful. So I just need to approach him, turn to him. So Mundaka Upanishad gives the analogy that there are two birds sitting on a tree on the same branch. One bird, which represents all of us, is enjoying the fruits of the tree. And the tree represents the material creation. And the other tree represents Krishna. So this bird represented by, which represents Krishna, is actually waiting, looking at the other bird who's busy enjoying, waiting for him to turn to him without blinking his eyes. So somebody asked, why don't you blink your eye? How much time does it take? So Krishna replies, I cannot blink my eye, because I'm just waiting for this person to turn to me, even for a moment. And if he turns to me for a moment, at that moment, if I'm blinking my eyes, I might miss him. So therefore, as soon as he turns to me, I'll catch hold of him and never let him go. So Krishna is actually waiting for us to turn to him. And it is Krishna's nature that when we take shelter of him, he turns the apparent curses into the greatest blessings. He turns the adversities into greatest opportunities, provided we take shelter. The apparent curses become the greatest benedictions in life once we turn to Krishna. This is the secret. So Dhruva Maharaj achieved something which was impossible from our point of view, from the mundane point of view. But because he took shelter of Krishna, he achieved more than what he desired actually. He just had this idea, I want a kingdom greater than that of my great-grandfather. But he didn't know whether it existed or not. What was it? But the Lord actually, if you see somebody becoming the king of the planet and if you feel envious, why should we? Krishna can create a separate planet for us if he is pleased with us to fulfill our desire. That's what he did with Dhruva Maharaj. So Krishna can go to any extent to fulfill our desire if we turn to him, if we please him. And this is the message of the Bhagavatam. Canto after canto, this is the common thread. Devotees are going through so much adversity, but as soon as they turn to Krishna, everything is taken care. This is a common thread running through Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this material world, the foundation is envy. The spiritual world, Vaikuntha planet, the foundation is love. There is complete harmony because there is no envy. Here everybody tries to be better than the other person. But in the spiritual world, when a person sees that other person is trying to serve Krishna in a better way, the person takes a humble position. And he actually considers the other person's service as better than his own service. That is the consciousness. In Krishna's eyes, everyone's service is equal. He doesn't discriminate. Whether you are worshipping a deity or you are sweeping the temple floor, it's the same thing in Krishna's eyes. The Lakshmis in the spiritual world, they are roaming around in the spiritual world with the broom in one hand and the lotus flower in the other hand, although there is no dust in the spiritual world. But they are just trying to attract Krishna's attention. Maybe they will find some particles of dust and they will sweep them off so that Krishna will cast a merciful glance in their direction. So even Lakshmi is trying to sweep the floor. So there is no envy. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the description of the spiritual kingdom is given, where many things are described. So one particular thing is that there are the most exquisite of the birds in the spiritual world. They are the sweetest of singers, especially the cuckoo bird. Koel is the sweetest of singers. And they're all glorifying Lord Vishnu in their own way. The cuckoo birds are singing. Those who have human-like form, they are singing. The form like that of the Lord in the Vaikuntha world. And when these cuckoo birds are singing, it's very sweet to hear, nectarian. But then a bumblebee enters. Now how does a bumblebee sing? Zzz. It cannot be compared to the singing of a cuckoo bird. There's no comparison. But when the bumblebee enters the scene, the cuckoo bird and the other bird, sweet singing bird, they become quiet. Because they feel this bumblebee is trying to glorify the Lord and she's better than us. They become quiet. This is a natural consciousness. This is the consciousness of the spiritual world. The Lord, because the Lord's pleasure is the supreme, he is the center. So they don't feel envious. Rather, they feel happy that there's somebody else is trying to serve Krishna in a better way. And when the residents of the spiritual world, they see somebody else doing better than them, they don't become depressed. In the material world, when we see somebody else, even in the spiritual circles, if somebody is doing better service than us, we become envious. But the right consciousness is shown by the residents of the spiritual world. When somebody else is doing better than us, they don't feel depressed. They feel encouraged and inspired. They start thinking, oh, this person is serving Krishna in such a nice way. So let me try to do better than him. Here also we feel, let me try to do better than him. But the goal is something different, for our own glorification, for our own pleasure. In the spiritual world, the residents also try to do better than others to give Krishna greater pleasure. So this person has served Krishna and Krishna is pleased, so let me try to serve 10 times better so that Krishna experiences more pleasure. So that is the consciousness. So there's no need to feel envious, rather we should feel encouraged. Because Krishna is unlimited. We just have to desire. This devotee has served Krishna in such a glorious manner. So I want to do greater service than him, so that Krishna is even more glorified. Krishna is even more pleased. And since Krishna is unlimited, Krishna can grant those desires. That is the specific standard of the spiritual world. Like recently we celebrated Govardhan Puja. Now the greatest devotee of Krishna, the worshipper, as the name also suggests, is Srimati Radharani. And everybody knows this. There is no doubt about it. No second opinion. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimati Radharani glorifies Giriraj Govardhan as the best of all devotees. Srila Prabhupada says, when we approach Krishna through Srimati Radharani, our most worshipable mother, she recommends us to Krishna. And how she recommends? She says, she tells Krishna, even though if we are the biggest sinners, the most fallen person, but she tells Krishna, please accept him, because please accept this devotee because he is better than me. Imagine she's, and His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was once mentioning, it's not that she's faking it, she actually feels it, because she's naturally so humble. She actually feels it that the other person is a better devotee than me. Therefore, to the degree we become free from envy, the closer we go to Krishna. And the closer we go to the spiritual world, because this is the culture of the spiritual world. So all the festivals and deity worship, these are all occasions, or we can say these are training programs to recondition ourselves to the culture of the spiritual world, where Krishna is the center. When a festival is happening, so many people come together and Krishna is the center. We sing for Krishna, we offer him bhoga, and he's dressed up nicely, and he is glorified. So this is the culture of the spiritual world. So this entire Hare Krishna movement is actually a training institution, training us all up in the culture of the spiritual world, training us to put Krishna in the center. How did the material existence begin? Krishna was the center, and we were all cooperating. Then we decided, I also want to be the center. And that's how the fall down began. So now through these festivals, through these temples, the movement given by Srila Prabhupada, we are trying to remove ourselves from the center and put Krishna in the center. That is the training. So we are getting trained up in the culture of the spiritual world. And when we are fully trained up, then we go back to the spiritual world. Till the point we have even a tinge of envy, we can't go back. Go back home, back to the spiritual world, into our constitutional position. So how do we deal with this envy now? That's the most important part. It is the deadliest of all diseases, and this is the only thing which is separating us from Krishna. The first thing that we need to do is prayers. Prayer is very important. As devotees, we know envy is bad, and when we are attacked by this enemy, the tendency is, because we know too much, we might become depressed. But that again, that feeling of depression is also a sign of false ego. We become depressed in life because we think we are the doers. So there is a difference between feeling sad about it and feeling depressed or discouraged. Sad is all right. Like Srila Prabhupada felt very sad when he was not getting any support from his god brothers when he was trying to preach the message of Krishna under the instruction of his spiritual master. But he was never discouraged or depressed, because he had full faith in the words of his guru words of Srila Rupa Goswami, words of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this movement will spread all over the world. So one part is feeling bad about it, sad about it. But if we just concentrate on this part, we'll become depressed and discouraged. The other part is important. I have this envy, but Krishna can do the needful. He can take it away. So prayers are the key. But there's this famous saying, prayer should not be the spare wheel of our life. It should be the steering wheel. It should guide us. So it should be a regular affair, praying. And because we are praying, we'll be saved from the ill effects of envy. Srila Prabhupada was once praying to Sri Rukmini Dwarkadhish. And when the devotees asked him, what were you praying? And Prabhupada said, I was praying that I may not fall into Maya. But they said, but you are already above Maya, beyond Maya. How can you fall into Maya? Prabhupada said, because I am praying, therefore I will never fall into Maya. So as soon as we find ourselves being attacked by this deadly enemy called envy, we must simply fold our hands and pray to Krishna for this simple prayer. My dear Lord, I am being attacked by this enemy. But I do not want to act upon it. I want to rise beyond it. Please help me. And for sure all the help will come. You'll gain strength. Because Krishna is somebody who never lets us down. There is never a single incident in the history where a person has taken his shelter, devotee or non-devotee, and Krishna has let him down. So we become depressed because we forget to pray. So if we know this part, that Krishna can do it, I am insignificant, but Krishna is all powerful, then we'll always feel encouraged and keep on marching ahead on this path. Second thing, which is practically very powerful, we can do. These are simple things, but they are actually very powerful. Is study of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is called Paramhansa Samhita. It is specially meant for those devotees who are free from envy. They can actually relish it. But in the process of studying Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the heart gets purified, because this is the disease of the heart. The envy is the disease of the heart. But when we regularly study Srimad Bhagavatam, hear from the scripture, gradually the heart becomes purified from the envy. So this is the second thing. And it may sound very simple, but it is extremely powerful. All these things are extremely powerful, although they sound very simple. The first is prayers. Second is Srimad Bhagavatam, study of Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is the only scripture meant for this age. Vyasadeva, when he was foreseeing the ill effects of Kali Yuga, he wrote every scripture down. Still he was not satisfied. And this was a scripture which was written to deal with the evil effects of Kali Yuga, the evils of Kali Yuga. So Bhagavatam is the scripture. It is specially meant to cure the disease of the heart. And third thing is also very important, is the Vaishnav Seva. If you are facing impediments in life and you can't study Srimad Bhagavatam, you can't pray, you forget to pray, simply do this one activity, serve the Vaishnavas in a way that they are pleased. And there is no impediment in life that cannot be removed by serving the Vaishnavas. We have proof in the lives of many contemporary devotees and in the scriptures also. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was facing so many impediments because he wanted to dedicate his life to the service of Lord Chaitanya. Till he served the Vaishnavas and he pleased them, he could not attain the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. So anything that is troublesome to the heart, to the mind, or in life in general, it can be taken care easily simply by serving and pleasing the Vaishnavas. And the last thing, and the most important, the easiest, the quickest, the safest, and the surest path to purify our heart completely is the chanting of the holy names. As I said, this is the disease of the heart. The more we chant and try to hear this sound vibration enters through the ear, goes into the heart and completely purifies it. And chanting is something which we can do anytime, anywhere, in any situation. So, plus, chanting will give you strength to do the above three activities also. It will give you the inspiration to serve the Vaishnavas, which will remove further impediments. It will also give you inspiration, taste for Srimad Bhagavatam. And it will also, because in itself it's a prayer, it will also keep you always in a prayerful mood, because it reawakens our divine consciousness. And in our divine consciousness, we are eternally actually taking shelter of Krishna, taking pleasure in His glories, and trying to serve His dear devotees who are His heart. So Krishna's devotees are Krishna's heart. When Krishna is actually pleased with someone, the proof is not that He has given somebody money, wealth and fame and all these things. The real blessing of Krishna, and if we have this, we must know Krishna is really pleased with us, is the association of devotees. Devotees are Krishna's heart, and if somebody is pleased with somebody else, He gives that person His heart. So Krishna gives the person He is pleased with His heart, and that is the association of His devotees. Because that's where Krishna resides. So chanting is the spiritual practice recommended to purify the heart. It is the easiest, it is the safest, it is the surest, and it is the quickest. Like Mrigari, example given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was such a cruel hunter. One thing is, you kill the animals, and you take pleasure in that. But he was worse than that. He used to half kill the animals and take pleasure in seeing them dying out of pain. That's even worse. So when Narad Muni came to him, he saw this person has a very dark future. He's going to be punished in the hellish planets for eternity. So he could have given him instructions from Bhagavatam, or he could have given him scriptural instructions, codes of conduct. But in order to understand the philosophy mentioned in the scriptures, one needs to have an evolved consciousness. And evolved consciousness cannot manifest till a person is overburdened by his sins. And Mrigari was extremely sinful. Therefore, Narad Muni gave him the most powerful medicine to cure him of his disease. And that was the chanting of the names. Similarly with Valmiki Muni, nothing else would work because he was also very sinful. How to chant? How to make him understand the repercussions of his activities? So Narad Muni gave him the most powerful medicine. And that too ulta. He told him he couldn't even chant Ram Ram because he was so sinful. Chanting cannot be present on the tongues of a person, people, those who are sinful. Only a person who has exhausted his sinful activity, the reaction to sinful activities in his entire karma, can actually chant the names of God. So Valmiki was extremely sinful, but Narad Muni thought he couldn't even chant the name properly. So he said, name is all powerful, so let him chant ulta, because that's the only word he can relate to, mara, mara, mara. In that, he started chanting Ram, Ram, and gradually he became so purified. From being the lowest of people, he became the official biographer of Lord Ramchandra. He wrote down Ramayana and is still being talked about, still being glorified. So that is his specific standard of chanting. From the lowest position to the highest position in no time. So these are the simple steps we can actually apply in life. First is pray. Whenever we are attacked by envy, just simply fold your hands and pray. And immediately all the help will come. Secondly is study of Bhagavatam, the scripture specially written for this age. Third is the Vaishnav Seva, service to the devotees. And it is applicable for all, devotees and non-devotees also. And the fourth thing and the most important is the chanting of the holy names. As I mentioned in the beginning, first we became envious towards Krishna, then this envy got extended to all the other living beings. So similarly, when we apply these four steps, our love for Krishna will awaken, and that love will automatically get extended to all other living beings also. This is the shortcut way. So let's just, whatever I've spoken is, whatever I've heard from my spiritual master and the other senior devotees, and I spoke it for myself also, just to remind myself. But the cure that is mentioned, it is 100% bona fide. Let's just try to apply this and reawaken our love for Krishna and be reinstated in our original position as a pure divine spirit soul. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.